This morning, you may have caught a certain theme. And, of course, if you looked in your bulletin, you'll find that we are talking about dry, dead bones this morning. I heard this preached by a good friend of mine, Robbie Horn. Oh, sorry. Had a state association meeting. It's not this message, but this subject matter. And at the time, I was pretty discouraged with our work. It just seemed lifeless. And he preached this message, and it was like, I'm not alone. There are others who feel this way also, that we're dry bones many times in our worship and in our service to God. And so I want to share this message with you today, jokingly we say that, and that's in Ezekiel 37, by the way, verses 1 through 10. Jokingly we say that Ezekiel probably had was called to the worst congregation any preacher could be called to, a bunch of dead bones. However, this picture is something many believers face in their Christian experience. The hopeless situation. It don't get much hopeless than dry bones. And having to work with those bones. I want to give you a little history about what this is about. Number one, this is a vision. This did not actually happen. He was showing Ezekiel what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. And at this time in history, both Israel and Judah were ruined politically. Assyria had scattered Israel and Judah had been captured by Babylon. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted a return from captivity. But Ezekiel's vision goes even further down through the years. He sees it as a time when the dead nation would actually come alive. And in the vision, he saw many bones in an open valley, and they were very dry. Dry bones means that they've been dead a long time. It is the picture of utter defeat. And with the bones of the armies drying and unburied. And that is a vivid description of the Jewish people now in history. But through the power of God's word, the bones came together and they formed men. And through the power of the Spirit, that wind, life was given to them. And this pictures the future revival of the nation when the Jews will be brought out of the graves of the Gentile nations where they had been scattered. Politically, this took place on May 14, 1948 when the modern nation of Israel entered into the family of nations again. Of course, this nation is dead spiritually. But one day, when Christ returns, the nation will be born in a day and be saved. It will be restored, not only in form, but in spirit. What was the valley full of? I've been told this. My questions were a little harder than normal. They were full of dry bones. And so, let's look for a moment at the vision of Ezekiel. And you know, these scriptures may not have any reference directly to the church or to your lives or my life, but it can be used to describe the serious problems that exist within the modern churches and in our lives today. And here we can see the only solution to the problems that we face. Just as we see the destructive force of sin in our lives, And in that vision of Isaiah, we can see the destruction, deterioration of neglect and the lack of spirit in our lives, in our churches, and especially in our nation. So let's look at the first few verses. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. This is a pitiful condition. A valley full of bones. And I want you to understand something. God is concerned for His people. He is concerned for our spiritual well-being, regardless of our disobedience and the sin in our lives and our lack of trust that we have in Him. It's a shame that a people would allow themselves to digress into such a pitiful spiritual condition. That's what was being pictured. The spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. And Ezekiel sees the most tragic scene here. This was a most heartbreaking picture. A valley full of dry bones. There once was life and once was activity in that valley. But now there was nothing. Perhaps that's the feeling you might have as you walk alone in a cemetery, reading the epitaphs on a tombstone. And you look around and you realize that in each one of these graves was a living, breathing human being, alive and vital. But now it's dead. And it saddens us because we realize that's kind of our destiny too. But of course, if you want to really look at being alive, then you'll understand that when you walk through the doors of our churches today, many of our churches are just as dead. And they think they're alive. And maybe in our lives, which lead to churches being this way, our lives we think that we're alive, but we're dead men walking. And have been that way for a very long time. Ezekiel's heart bled for his people. As he looked out, he realized what this was. This was the nation of Israel that had died and was no longer alive. In fact, not for a very long time, and his heart bled for them. This was his nation. This was his people. And would it not stir our emotions? Would it not touch our hearts and lives when we realize the deadness of our of people's lives and maybe even yours when we look at our churches full of dry dead bones? Many times they'll function physically, but they are dead spiritually. Ezekiel, as he's walking through this valley, wants to do something. He realizes what has happened and is going to happen. And he wants to do something. But there was nothing for him to do. My goodness. We've all been there, haven't we? That feeling of hopelessness when we realize that there's nothing that we can do to solve a problem. There's nothing that we can do. It's out of our hands. Preachers do this when they see a church that is dying spiritually. We have that feeling when we see someone move away from God and you see their lives just falling apart. And they're dying spiritually right in front of us. And we want to help. We want to help, but we just don't know how. We too are powerless But you know what Ezekiel had to do? He had to wait upon the Lord and His power, and not, there was nothing that Ezekiel could do, but God could do it. We're powerless also. But if we allow God to work through us, I believe we're going to be able to see life in the valley. One of the most fascinating questions ever to be posed, I believe, in Scriptures, or one of them, is found in our next few verses. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" God is speaking to him. Can these bones live? So I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Imagine God. He's out there and he goes, he's seeing all these dead bones, all these dry bones, and God says, "Can these bones live?" I believe that's a trick question. Because I'm going to go, "No." But this is God. And if you say yes, everybody's going to think you're crazy. So what did he say? "Oh Lord, you know." How can I know? You know. When Jesus said of the damsel in his life, "She is not dead, but sleepeth." Well, they laughed him to scorn. But here we're not, these bodies weren't newly dead. They'd been dead a long time, long past the 3 days that, you know, the Jews thought that they could bring someone back. But these were bones, bare, whitened bones. No, they were not even skeletons. They were separated from each other. And yet God asked, "Can these bones live?" Now, had he asked this question of the world, they'd have laughed a louder laugh of scorn. They wouldn't have believed it. They said, "No way. Not even God can do that." Well, what benefit is a valley of dry bones? What good can there be from a valley of dry bones? Well, for one thing, it's detrimental to the cause of Christ when there's a valley, when there is dry bones and something's not alive. And as Ezekiel looked, perhaps he thought it was hopeless. If it would be foolish to waste one's time trying to do anything here. He walked up and he says, "Lord, this is what I got to work with? This is who you want me to minister to? This is who you want me to speak to?" And perhaps he even started to leave. And God said, "Where are you going?" Ezekiel could have responded, "Somewhere that I can do a work for you. Somewhere where I can do something special for you." And I imagine God would look back and say, "Don't leave. You're going to do a work here." God works in places that we can't even imagine. Places where we think it's hopeless and helpless. There are pastors all over this country today who at one time or the other wanted to throw their hands, and some did, throw their hands up and said, "It's hopeless. There's nothing I can do for these people." Sometimes God does say it's time to move on, but I'll tell you something. I believe that until God speaks to your heart, you're to minister, whether you're a pastor or you're to minister where you're at and where He's put you. No matter how hopeless or helpless the situation, no matter how dry the bones may be, no matter how unalive, how dead they are. Sometimes it feels like you're facing impossible odds. And you know what? They are impossible odds sometimes when it's just me. When I'm thinking what I have to do. But with God, there is nothing impossible with God. God sometimes says, "Stay right here. We're going to do a work here," no matter how hopeless and helpless it may seem. So can lifeless bones bring God honor and glory to God? Of course they can't. And that's the reason something needs to be done. God's people should be full of life. They should be enthusiastically involved in the work of the Lord. Our lives are to bring glory to God. We should have life about us. Lifeless churches, lifeless people cannot bring honor and glory to God. And yet, there are so many Christians today, churches today, that are without life. Dry bones, many times. Can the world around us be helped or blessed by a valley of dry bones? I think you know the answer to that. The only logical answer to that question is no. What can a dead, lifeless person do? Before this could be reversed, something must be done to activate life. Let me talk a little bit about dead bones of a church. Not faithful to pray. Not faithful to study. Not faithful in attendance to give. Not faithful to give tithes and offerings. These are just some basic signs of spiritual deadness within the church or body of Christ. When we see these things are lacking, can the world really be blessed by our church? These are basic things. These are just things that are expected. I don't think we can bless. I don't think a church can be a blessing to others until they are alive and are able to do anything. Now, I've known some godly Christians who fell prey to the sin in their lives, haven't you? I've known some people who were godly and they fell prey to the sins of this world and they got away from God. And they never recovered. Maybe it was guilt. Maybe it was the feelings of failure. Maybe it was a belief they've besmirched the name of Christ to a point to where they didn't think that they could ever come back. Whatever the reasons, they quit serving God. And unfortunately, there are a lot of believers who feel that could never happen to them. I know some folks who thought that too. That'll never happen to me. I'll never forsake God. I will never drift away from Him. And they did. So it can happen to us. Foolishly, they ignore the risk of inevitable self-destruction. And I believe there's a valley of dry bones. I believe there's a valley of dry bones in our churches. And in our Christian life. It's a dry place. There's no joy there. It's a dead place. There's no fruit there. It's a dangerous place, a place where no Christian should ever stay. And sometimes I believe we've brought that kind of stuff into our churches through our individual lives. Okay, this is the condition. This is where a lot of folks, a lot of churches are at today. What can we do? Is there any hope? Or should we all just pack it up and leave because there's no hope? That's not the answer. Let's continue and let's see what our God can do through us. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Oh, hold on a second. He's wanting to talk to, he's wanting to preach to the bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. the power of God's word. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Had the prophet walked by sight and not by faith, he would have staggered at the promise through unbelief. Had he been a worshiper of reason, he would have argued, these bones have no ears to hear. Why should I preach to them? Hear the word of the Lord. But no, he believed God rather than himself. He had been taught the exceeding greatness of his mighty power, and therefore he obeyed. So I prophesied as I was commanded. This scripture teaches us that the preaching of Jesus, though foolishness to the world, is to be the means of their awakening. And that prayer to the all-quickening spirit is to be their means of new life. And it teaches us that when that when these means are used with them, God's ancient people, Israel, shall yet stand up and be an exceeding great army, and shall be as they used to be when they marched through the wilderness, when God went before them on a pillar of cloud. That they shall be led back to their own land, planted in their own land, not plucked up anymore, but another. And to us, a more important application of this vision is to the unconverted souls that are in the midst of us. Look in Ephesians 2:1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Ezekiel did not know what to do. What was he told to do? Preach. Preach. To a valley of dry bones? Yes, to this valley. He perhaps starts to leave and God asks, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go to the library. I'm going to go to other preachers. I'm going to get some opinions on this. Because I got to find out what to preach. I've never preached dry bones before. I've never preached to skeletons. How am I going to preach? What am I going to preach? We must realize that the Word of God is never lacking in power, that it will accomplish its will despite the messenger, despite the knowledge. I'll tell you this, the bones, there's something, you know, I've got to preach. And I've got to share with you God's Word. The Word, I got to share it with you. There's something else. The bones must hear the word of God. Ezekiel is a spokesman for God. He instructs the bones to hear the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. We must realize that whoever stands before us to teach or to preach, we are to listen to this, thus saith the Lord. For the work to be accomplished, the congregation must be attentive and the spokesman must preach the word. In the average church, the reason for dried, bleached bones, the congregation, you know, occupies themselves with other things. They turn a deaf ear to God's word. There's another part to that too. Sometimes the preacher doesn't preach God's word and he just preaches stuff that might be pleasant to hear, but has not any biblical meaning or power behind it. The congregation sometimes they want to blame the preacher if the church don't grow. The success of the church is dependent upon the whole church today and how alive each and every member is in this church. How on fire for God he is. That's growth. And it's contagious. I do not like roaming in cemeteries. It's just not one of the things. And no one really does. It's not a place because it's a place of the dead. We want people want to be around people who are alive and full and vigorous in their life, fully knowing that one day that God's going to make all this right, and that one day when we die, we'll be with Him. And that is something of joy that we should have. The bones must believe and accept the Word. Ezekiel could preach the Word. The results that followed was dependent upon the hearers. Too often people try to rechannel the message to someone else. Boy, I'm glad that they were here to hear that. They really needed that. We try to justify our own lives, what we want, what we do and don't do. But eventually, there comes a point in time in our lives when the Lord will no longer offer the healing power of His Word. It's here today, might be here tomorrow. When we hear God's Word, we must hear it and we must accept it. Genesis 6:3 says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And so as we go through the next portion of this, this is pretty incredible. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.'" That they may live. Ezekiel witnessed a wonderful and marvelous thing. He saw the presence of the Lord. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The word of the Lord was preached. He spoke to those bones. And the Lord moved in the congregation as the bones heard the word. When people listen and allow God to move, there will be a response. There will be tears. There will be testimonies. There will be amens. Maybe even some changed lives. But when people respond to God's word, this will happen. There will be an eventual result of souls being saved. There will be an eventual result of new members, baptism, financial sufficiency, and you name it, blessings. When we hear and accept God's word, it says the bones began to move together to form a skeleton with sinew and flesh and skin. What an amazing sight that must have been. Those bones just started, like a jigsaw puzzle, started coming together, and flesh began to appear right in front of his eyes. Man, how often is a people outwardly reformed instead of Sabbath breaking, there is Sabbath observance. Instead of drunkenness, sobriety, the form of godliness, but none the power of, the bones, the sinews of the flesh, the skin of godliness, but none of the living breath of godliness. In other words, they came together as a body. Now, we can do that. We can put together some pretty lifelike figures of a body. We could even probably, at some point in time, make a body outside the normal way. But unless there is life in that body is still useless. This is the way with our congregations at this day. Is this the way? We have an abundance of head knowledge. But where is the lowly heart that loves the Savior? There's abundance of orthodoxy, an argument, But where is the simple faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and love to all the saints? And does not the Savior say when He looks down on our churches, He looks at it and He says, there's just no life in them. There's no breath in them. Then, brethren, let us, one and all, give heed to the second command of the prophet. Just because you have a body and it looks good on the outside doesn't mean that you're spiritually alive. The second command was prophesy unto the Spirit, Son of Man. Say, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Perhaps Ezekiel couldn't believe his eyes. Can you imagine the joy as he witnessed the becoming together? There was hope. If he can do this for those dry bones, can he not do that for your family members, for your fellow church members? Can he not do that for those people in your life that have no clue about who Jesus Christ is, that need to know His everlasting salvation? Can he not accomplish what he wants to accomplish through the words of his messenger? Let me tell you something. That messenger may be you. It doesn't have to be me. That messenger could be you. In churches, can you imagine broken, shattered lives that can be brought together? Homes and churches brought together, and even nations. And there are things that can be accomplished and must be accomplished before the work of God can be done to its fullest. And we have to be alive. We have to be able to do what He wants us to do in order to do that. And the very first thing that we got to do is we got to spread His Word. Let the power of His Word transform hearts and lives to make people saved and unsaved, make them alive in Christ. It's a good thing to be alive. It's a good thing. And finally, in verse 10, it's one thing being alive, but what are you supposed to do? So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. An army. An army. He makes us alive to be an army. And there are some pleasant results here. This is good things are happening. They lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You see, the Holy Spirit moved upon them. Moved upon them. Ezekiel continued to preach. And the bones received life and power to be a spiritual success. We're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are. Now, we don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot because of those other folks down the road here. Let me tell you something. We are denying the power of the Holy Spirit. We are denying God. It is not my words that cause people to come to salvation. It is not my words that come people to make people choose God, a godly life over not. It is not my words. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that accompanies those words. And it wasn't Ezekiel's words that made these people live again. It was the words of God that did. They stood up, ready to move forward for God. And Ezekiel saw here the miraculous power of God working in the lives of the believers. And so we must stand ready to do the will of God. Change lives filled with the Spirit. An army able and ready to fight. Yeah, fight. God has mobilized a great army. He has mobilized a great army of believers to fight the good fight of faith for the souls of men, women, and boys and girls. We are here for a reason. And as y'all come up, we've got to ask ourselves where we stand in this picture and how this message relates to us. are we dry bones? Where do we stand in this picture? Have we been empowered by the Spirit of God? Are we actively involved in the work of the Lord? Are we striving to tell the good news of salvation to all that we meet? Are we satisfied to let the preacher and just let a few others do the work that we've been called to do? And if we find ourselves dead and dry in the service of the Lord, we can never be of benefit to God unless we allow Him to breathe upon us all. Let the breath of God fill your spirit today and to go and to do the work of the Lord. The dry bones picture here, the whole house of Israel, though things seem to be hopeless to Ezekiel, God had their salvation in view. He knew. The dry bones also picture the lost. There are so many. They're dead in their sins, and perhaps, maybe here today, you're one of them. You may think that you got it all together, but spiritually you are dead and have never been alive. Please know that Jesus can save you today, right where you are. And perhaps you're concerned with loved ones who are lost. Maybe you have loved ones who need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you think that they're hard cases. There ain't no way that God can save that person. Son of man, can you see, can these bones live? And the answer is yes. The dry bones also picture a dried up Christian. They picture me sometimes. Do they picture you? God help us. Believers to be revived in our faith, to experience the joy of our salvation once again, to see the dryness and the deadness when we're in the midst of it, that we might seek your face, your forgiveness, and we might seek the joy of our salvation again. Revive us, O Lord, that we might serve you. That is my prayer, and that is the invitation this morning. It is my prayer today that you will accept it, that you'll hear the word, accept it, and God will put your life and make breathe into you and make us alive again. Brother Randy. So this morning, if God is dealing with your heart, if you've heard the word and He's calling you to become alive again, or maybe for the first time, this church building does not save us. This church building is not alive, but the people are the church. And each and every one of us, when we come here, and if we're alive spiritually, guess what will happen as a church? There's no way we can be dead spiritually. It is my prayer today that all that, if that's happening in our church, if it's happening in our life, that it will change. And you'll make this the time you've heard God's word, and you've accepted it, and He's making you alive even as we speak. This is your invitation for whatever it is. In your life. So as we sing this morning, would you make those decisions for Him?